Hi, hello. This is, entry number one. What should I call you? Dear Isabel. Isabel. Do you? Don't know. You there. We're here. I mean, we've arrived. Well, I mean, we haven't, but we're here. We're on our way to the base. Aeroplane very bumpy. Fairly unpleasant. But it was kind of calm before that, just before we landed. Amazing ice flows below, like, what, I don't know, the Broken World or something. The horizon seems to be on fire. This is a long way to come, just to clear your head, I suppose. But it works. I hope you get a lot of time to think this weekend. Assuming you want to, of course. That didn't come out right. Anyway, I'll be thinking of you and us and all that. Then it's up ahead with the gear bobbing and lolloping like he's trying to headbutt the sky. Up and down. Up and down. I'll talk to you in a minute. Hey. This is, entry two, obviously. I hadn't noticed before how much like you Leonard looks. I know he's your baby brother and everything, and he has got a huge head, but he does look a bit like you. The eyes, he looks at me the same way when he's not listening to me. The way you do. Looks past my elbow, sort of nods. The same flat front of teeth. He's got the tent and everything. But you know, he is younger, so he wants to get to the camp early. So we... Yeah, all right, Leonard! He's waiting to me to catch up. I'm knackered. He wants to make sure we get there early. He's afraid we're going to look like the rest of the tourist Egypt. I'll talk to you in a bit. Hi. What's so bad about being a tourist Egypt anyway? We've overshot, or however you want to say it, the camp. We've gone past it. Or Leonard is getting a bit Shackleton on me. He's gone off to have a look. He's hopping mad. You know, it's not my fault. And it's very cold, obviously. It's minus enough to make you want to put hats on every part of you. I mean, I think this is, you know, this is funny. This is what it's about, isn't it? This is an adventure. You go and you look for something. And, you know, it's ridiculous. He's kind of missing the point. It's like being out shopping with you. And I suppose I see now why you got a bit fidgety when I brought up the idea of him coming on this trip, you know? I mean, in fact, you were rather more animated about that than the idea that anything might happen to me, of course. You know, I mean, I thought that was interesting. And yes, okay, I understand things are tough at the moment. And, you know, it was pretty rotten. We know that before I left. But it doesn't have to be like that. If you were here, I think you would feel differently, maybe. You know, if you were seeing what I'm seeing, if you, this amazing brightness, this clear world, you look around and, you know, it makes you think, well, it puts you in perspective, really. And I think things will be better when I get back. Listen, can you hear that? Your brother is chilling out. It's official. I hope you know some other tunes. We're on our way, doubling back, blood drumming in all my limbs. There's a wind following us, but it's not on us yet. We are a bit behind schedule, but there'll be some tour rep at the camp here. I'm sorry about earlier, but you know, I mean, I don't mean to be heavy, it's just probably being here in this white hallway makes you think of the first and last, you know, the eternal and whatever. So I'll speak to you properly from the camp. Well, I can talk to you now, to you, that is, not to Leonard, who is A, asleep, and B, not talking to me. He's sleeping in the crucifix position, so I'm under his right armpit. You know, it's like travelling with an incredibly tetchy, self-righteous orangutan, although they'd probably be quicker with the maps. Anyway, you're probably not speaking to me either after that statement.
So I've got stereo sound treatment and two cold shoulders. Four, in fact, if you count mine. Never mind. We're in the tent, but not at the base yet. He wanted to press on, as he said, about 40 times. But I couldn't go another step, so I convinced him to pitch up. In about the nick of time, I would say, because the wind really snapped down on us then. It was crazy trying to get this thing up. I was laughing, and, Leonard didn't seem to like that. Have a bath and think of me, will you? Maybe I'll wake up clean. I'll talk to you in the morning.
Morning! I have no idea what entry this is, but it is day two. It's my turn to carry the pack, but I'm not going to do that just yet because Leonard has obviously gone out to recce our position again. And anyway, as you can probably hear, the wind is awake and up. So, he should have told me he was... he should have bloody woke me, really. I'm going to eat something and then see if I can see him. which I'm sure I'll be able to do once I get outside. Out there. It's quite heavy, actually. It's not actually a good idea, you know, for him to have some kind of ongoing spat. I presume this is about yesterday. He didn't talk to me this morning. I don't think that's a good idea because it's kind of chucking it out and around out there. You know, it looks like a big pillow fight or something. It is now 4:30. If Leonard left, I woke up at 8:00. So if he went at 7:00, he's been out for 10 hours. So it's I'm going to wait. I'm frozen. I'm very cold. I'm going to wait. I'll leave the tent up, obviously, and wait for the wind to calm down. If he had waited for... Anyway, I'll go out again in an hour, say. This, by the way, is not my fault. He's 24, you know. He should have woken me. It's perfectly still. I've lost the tent. I mean, I can't see it. I made a hole in the snow for a while, and everything's settled again. And it looks changed, you know. It's different. It looks a bit like when we got out of the plane, but from a different angle. Obviously, I haven't gone that far, but I need to move on a bit to get the bearings. my throat is sore. My foot is sore. My left foot and my right hand's a bit sore. Talking is warm. I am talking. I am warm. My other hand is changing colour a bit. It's kind of purpley black. My hand is black, Isabel. I don't know where Leonard is. He took his pack. I can't feel my foot. I have half a pack of digestives. I left the food in the tent for your brother. My name is Aidan Clark and I have a biscuit. My right hand is frostbitten. My left foot is frostbitten. I'm going to cut it off my hand because I can't cut my foot off with my left hand. I want to say that I think I saw a fox. I want to say that I am afraid. I want to say that I want to go home. The wind. I fell asleep cutting my hand off. My name is No Biscuits in the Snow. My name is No Biscuits. Sleep. As I was walking out today, my hand fell off. It sounded like burning wood. Everything's quite noisy. I found your brother. Your brother is an idiot. Your brother is dead. I tried to eat his arm, but he was frozen. I want you to listen to this, right? In his pocket. What was in his pocket? Was it a piece of chocolate or bread or something? No. It was a cigar, and the cigar was taped to a box of matches. I smoked the cigar beside your dead brother. Now, how many matches were in the box? Okay? How many? One! You won, of course, one. Your brother is so dead and inedible. What was he for, besides coming to our flat and eating everything? Part of his neck was missing. The fox got him. I knew there'd be a fox. I'm ready for him. Few things. First, I'm very busy right now, so I really don't have that much time to talk, but I want you to book the restaurant. And I don't think we should put those shelves up in the hall. And if you do, I'll be very upset, okay? And I want you to call Stoker, that estate agent guy, and tell him to sell the cottage, because it's a white elephant, okay? It always has been. And also, by the way, I've decided I'm going to become an acrobat and give up work. So you have to get your act together. And from now on, we're having biscuit crumbs and lint for breakfast, dinner, and tea. Okay? Mainly lint. If you have any problems with any of the above, you can speak to my people.
I saw a camel today. At first, I thought he was here on business. He was slow about approaching me, you know. Seemed a bit wary. And then he disappeared for a while, but then all at once he was just behind me. Of course, I got it wrong, you know. I was expecting loads of questions about directions or sights. You see, I think of myself as one of the locals now. But it was pretty clear from his expression that he'd seen it all before. 100 like me had come and gone. I wouldn't be the last. In the end, I was embarrassed. I wondered if, for want of something to say, I should ask after the fox, but that would have been a mistake. Tourist stuff. He probably didn't even know the guy. I was glad when he mooched off in the end. He wanted no part of me. And craving his respect just made me feel ashamed.
Hello, Isabel. I'm here. Where everything spills from. It's very blue. It's night now, or day. But if it's not day, then it's definitely night. Everybody's here. All the voices. I was surprised by how warm you sound. Leonard's here somewhere. Everybody. I hear my voice going through my bones, urging me to join in. I know when I open my mouth, I won't hear anything.